Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to have you back with us as we are on Reading the Word with me, Justin Reed. I am honored that you are spending just some of your time here today with me. I pray that what we study will be worth your while. We're actually going to be beginning a new study today, so you picked a good time to join in and study with us. And what we're going to go over for the next couple of weeks is actually a sermon that I wrote a few years ago, I believe 2017, if I can tell from my notes, but that's been a while ago, so if I'm off a year or two, please don't hold that too much against me. But it's entitled, The Great Judgment Morning. And before we get into that and where the idea came from, I want us to begin with the scripture reading found in Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 and 16, where the Bible says, "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains of the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide from us the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of God." And you'll see why here in a second we're using that as our lesson text. You know, friends, there is a day coming that some people are dreading, and some people could care less. But friends, I am here to tell you, I'm talking about the Great Judgment Day, of course. It is a real day. It is going to happen. In fact, the Hebrew writer tells us this very plain and clearly. There in Hebrews chapter 9 in verse 27, where he says, "It is appointed a man once to die." Seven times the word once appears in Hebrews, that being one of them. "It is appointed a man once to die, and then after this comes the judgment." And so we see it is a proven fact from the Hebrew writer that the judgment day is going to happen whether you want it to or not. Now, I told you this is one of my favorite sermons. If you know me, you know I love reading the Bible, but I also love listening to music. I mean, I do work in radio after all. And so usually in the mornings while I'm getting ready in the shower or whatever the case may be, I'm usually listening to some kind of music, sometimes gospel, depending on, you know, if I'm getting ready to go to worship or not, or I may have the radio on. Well, I love Roy Acuff and the Smoky Mountain Boys, and the song The Great Judgment Morning has been recorded by many people. In fact, Bertram H. Shattuck and Leander L. Pickett wrote it in 1894, and it's been, I believe, in about 100 or 150 different songbooks or publications have printed the lyrics to it one way or another. Hank Williams Sr. Is among the artists that record it, but I was listening to a compilation somebody had made on YouTube, and they had taken one of Roy's early albums from the late 40s and digitize it. I'd never heard the song The Great Judgment Morning, but I enjoyed it so much I made myself a note and I said, I want to take that sermon, or I want to take that song and I want to turn it into a sermon, because the message that's in there, although the people that wrote it are human, they use their they base their ideas off of biblical teachings. And so that's what I want us to do as we begin this new study. We're going to look at the Great Judgment Morning, and there are four verses in the song, and then each verse has a chorus or a refrain that comes after it. So what I want us to do is we're going to examine each verse, and then we'll see what the Bible has to say. We'll draw our final conclusions there from the Word of God. So join with me here on Reading the Word as we begin our new study on the Great Judgment Morning. And verse 1 of the song is as follows. I dreamed that the Great Judgment Morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. I dreamed that the nations had gathered to judgment before the white throne. From the throne came a bright shining angel, and he stood on the land and the sea, and he swore with his hand raised to heaven that time was no longer to be. Well, friends, we see from verse 1 here of the Great Judgment Morning that all the events that happen in this song, the second word, it says, I dream. So everything happening here is a dream. We know that the person that is singing this, or seeing this, I should say, has not died and gone to heaven, because when they die, they wait on the judgment just like when we die until it is the end of time. Nobody's going to be judged ahead of a different group. They don't do it like when they give out Social Security checks, they go by your last digit or your last name. Everybody's going to be judged at the same time. Well, we also see from verse 1, he said, I dreamed that all nations had gathered. Friends, everyone was there. all will be judged. Why? Because the gospel is for all. That's the thesis, or that's the main point when Paul writes to those in Rome. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, "For I am not ashamed," Paul says, "of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So we see that the gospel, since it is for all, male and female, bond or free, Jew or Greek, that means all shall appear before the judgment seat. And we also see the last line when that angel there is standing and he says, "Time will be no more." Friends, this signifies it is the end of time. Now, I will tell you, I guarantee you there are going to be many people on that final day that are going to want for just one more day to go back on earth, because they're going to want to make their lives right, because those people who claim there is no God, they're going to realize it. I've often heard it said there'll be no atheist in hell. Because you on earth you can say, "I don't believe in God," but when you stand before Him in all His glory there on the judgment day, it's going to be very hard to say that He is not real or that He is not there. So we see that at the judgment day, friends, time has ceased. Well, let's see what the Bible says, and we'll start on this on the other side of this break. So stick around. We'll continue this thought here on Reading the Word with Justin Reed.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you so much for sticking around with us here on this side of the break. We've just examined what verse 1 of the song that appears in many hymnals, many people have recorded it, called The Great Judgment Morning. We've seen what the song, what the verse actually says. Now let's compare it to our ultimate standard, that being the Word of God. And first off, we see that this person had this in a dream, but we know that God does not communicate to us in dreams today. How do I know that? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, Paul says, "For all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped," or thoroughly furnished, "unto every good work." And so we see, since the Word of God is complete, that means that we'd have no need for God to come give us a latter-day revelation. God's not going to tell you something in a dream and not tell the rest of the world, because He's told us everything. The Bible says it pertains everything that we need to know about life and godliness. Well, we also see in that song, or in verse 1, that everybody appears before the judgment seat. When Paul writes to those in Corinth in his second letter there, Paul says, "For we all must appear," 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, "we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things that are done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad." Now, I feel that there will be people who will only want to accept the good things they've done, but friends, that's not God's plan. You're going to have to take the good with the bad. Friends, we are all going to appear before the judgment seat, and we will all be judged on how we have lived our lives. One other passage I came to my mind while examining this verse is Romans chapter 14 and verse number 10. Paul says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Friends, there's not going to be a judgment for North America only, and then the next day for South America, and then Europe, and then, Australia. That's not how this works. Friends, we will all appear at the same time before the judgment seat of God. So that's verse 1 of the song, The Great Judgment Morning, and I've just titled that, The Judgment. Now let's examine verse 2, and I've titled this one, Riches Don't Help. The rich man was there, but his money had melted and vanished away. A pauper he stood in the judgment, his debts were too heavy to pay. The great man was there, but his greatness, when death came, was left far behind. The angel that opened the records, not a trace of his greatness could find. Well, we see here, when riches don't help, friends, we see a great reversal of roles. because the rich in the world became poor because they had only invested in the physical side and nothing on the spiritual side. We also see that you can't try to buy your way into heaven. No matter how much money you have, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Jeff Bezos, you just go down Forbes' list of richest people in the world, and I tell you what, you combine all their money, and then you take all the money that's in everybody's couch cushions, and then you multiply it by 100, and you still don't have enough to buy one person's way into heaven. Why? Because it only took the perfect price of Jesus Christ and his death upon the cross. Now, there are many people in the world today that believe a concept that is not found anywhere in the scriptures. You can check me out on this. In fact, I'd encourage you to look it up. But purgatory is not found anywhere in scripture. That's the false belief where you can just go burn off your sins in hell. But I'm only concerned what the Bible says, and the Bible doesn't teach that. Friends, death is the great equalizer. Well, let's see what the Bible says. That's always our goal. Go back to the Bible. See what the Bible says as we're examining this song, The Great Judgment Morning. First off, we learn that possessions don't mean everything. In fact, we find that in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 26, where Jesus Christ says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Friends, you can have every possession, but if you have not submitted to God through Christ in baptism and are living faithful, then you have absolutely nothing. Friends, we also learned, we were just talking a minute ago, how you can't buy your way into heaven, and that's not just an idea that originated in the mind of Justin Reed. That is a biblical teaching. Join with me in Acts chapter 8. Verses 18 through 23, we see that Philip has come into the city of Samaria. Philip is not an apostle, but he's a man that has the ability to do miracles. We learn that in the sixth chapter. He's preached to them. Verse 12, they believed the preaching. They were baptized. There's a man, his name is Simon. Simon is a sorcerer. I would best liken him unto a card magician today, or a party magician today. We see that John and Peter come down from Jerusalem and impart the Holy Ghost upon people, because Philip couldn't do that. And look at verse 18. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Simon sees this ability. He can actually do something that he might have tried to make it look like he'd done miracles with his illusions, but he couldn't do it. So he sees this ability being passed out, and so he offers money. But what do we learn? He says you can't buy the gift of God. You can't, by extrapolation, buy your way into heaven. Instead, you must submit by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, like those in Samaria had done, like Simon the sorcerer himself had done in the earlier part of Acts chapter 8. Friends, you cannot, no matter how good of a person you think you might be, you cannot buy your way into heaven. And very quickly, Acts chapter 10, verse 34, in death as in life, or as in God's eyes, all are equal. Peter says, "Of a truth I perceive God is no respecter of persons. I'm not going to be judged differently because I live in Warren County than someone who lives in Cannon County or Rutherford County or a different state. God does not work that way. We are all equal in the sight of God. Therefore, we're all going to be judged equally in the sight of God as well." That gets us halfway through looking at the song, The Great Judgment Morning. I hope you will join us next time when we will finish this study and we will continue our other examinations in the Word of God. Until next time, may the good Lord bless you. May He keep you. Thank you for listening to Reading the Word.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.